appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and worship with you all. And I really just want to be faithful to do what the Lord asked me to do. And felt like the Lord was leading me to visit you all. And that it has given me something for all of us to hear today. So I appreciate your prayers. I'm not Brother Ed. In a lot of ways, I wish I was. I'm me, and I pray that the Lord will use me, you know, just as I hope He uses all of you. I really appreciated the Sunday school this morning, and it kind of gave me a little thought to go along with the message today. And for those of you who weren't here, it was a message to the Church of Sardis, I believe. And it's in Revelations, and the Lord gave messages to a number of churches. I believe it was 7 churches, and He had a message for each one, and something specific to tell them. And in some instances, it was just straight encouragement, complete encouragement, and telling them to keep fighting, to keep pressing, to keep overcoming the enemy. And some instances, it was really just all rebuke. And a thought that came to me is, do we love the truth? You know, what really spurred this message was we were talking about truth. And I hear it a lot, you know, about the truth, hearing the truth. I want the truth. Loving to receive truth. And so the question is, do we really love the truth? You know, there's a scripture that says, open rebuke is better than secret love. That's Proverbs 27:5. Is that true? You know, I think of the church in Sardis, and basically it was an open rebuke. The Lord told them straight, you're dead. You need to get right. You need to pick up the things that are still there and still working, and you need to grow and mature from that point. Get back to where you were. That was a rebuke. Would it have been love for Him not to say anything at all? You know, I think about that is God's love, and that He'll show us, He'll tell us where we're at, and give us an opportunity to repent, like He said, repent. That's the mercy of God. That's the love of God, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't stay silent in my life. I'm thankful that He spoke to my heart, and He helped me understand where my condition was at and what I needed so that I can get back to Him, to restore the relationship that I have with Him. You know, I ask you, do we love the truth? And most people would say, absolutely. Truth is the only way, you know. I can even present it this way. How many of you like to be lied to? Right? I don't think anybody really likes to be lied to. At least we don't think we do. You know, there's instances in the scriptures where it says, don't tell us right things, give us smooth things. There was an instance in Jeremiah where I assume they said it outright. If they didn't say it with their mouths, they said it with their actions. But essentially they were saying, I don't want the truth. Yes. Tell me something that I want to hear. You know, tell me something that's going to suit me or fit along with what I already think or what I'm already doing. There's another instance where it says they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They get somebody that's going to tell them what they want to hear. They get somebody that's going to teach them or speak to them in a way that's approved by them. That's not wanting the truth. That's wanting to be appeased in your own self or in your own life. It says they will turn from the truth into fables, is another instance. And fables is just fairy tales, falsehood, lies. We've already said we don't like lies. But yet many people will listen to lies. They want lies. Because in the lie, it doesn't require anything of them. They can be just the way they are, stay just the way they are. And that's comfortable to them. You know, I was thinking about it, and I believe it was not just this past Wednesday, but the previous Wednesday, I was testifying in prayer, and that I'm thankful for the truth.
Yes, me too.
I'm thankful when the Lord tells me when I'm wrong.
That's right, yes.
And, you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord telling me when I need to get right. I mean, that's love. That's God's love. I was thinking about Pilate and how he says, "What is truth?" And so we're gonna find out. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the Word of God.
Yes.
And so when we read God's Word, I love the Word of God. You know, I asked you earlier if that scripture where it says open rebuke is better than secret love. That's in the scripture. And I asked you, is that true? Well, obviously we would say yes, absolutely it's true. Why is it? Because God said so. If for no other reason, then we know that it's true because of that by itself. If God says it, we know it's true. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so if we're to be sanctified and holy and meet for the Master's use, it's going to be by God's word. The church of Sardis, they received the word of God essentially and saying, "Repent. Turn away from your backsliding," basically. Because they had, like he said during the study, it didn't happen just in one day. It was little by little, letting go of this, letting go of that, before they found themselves in a state of a dead condition. Psalms 119. We're going to read verses 140 to 142. It says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." What God says is true. You know, we hear the word of God preached every week, you know, maybe multiple times a week. God's word is true.
Yeah.
And what I love about God's word is it goes forth and it accomplishes what it is sent out to do. It does not return void. Now, it may not produce in us the results that maybe God desires, but it will go. And it will prick the hearts. It says that his word is like a two-edged sword piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and heart, of the joints and marrow. It does penetrate. And so the question is what do we do with that when God's word penetrates?
Amen.
What do we do when the Lord openly rebukes us? What kind of attitude do we have in those situations?
Lord,
do we love the truth? Do we want the truth? Is it really what we want in our lives? You know, I was thinking about the truth, and it led me to ask about this. How many of you like to be reproved? And we'll just read a little reproof. to scold or correct, usually gently or with kindly intent. So that's essentially what reproof is. And I was thinking about that and thinking about reproof in relationship to truth. A reproof is simply telling the truth. It is. It's simply just stating the truth. And it's a matter of how we're going to respond to that. You know, I'm not here to reprove anybody. That's not what I feel like the Lord is asked me to do here today. And I wouldn't sit here and suggest that you all reprove one another. You know? But what I'm saying is that reproof comes from God's Word.
Yes.
Like I said, we hear messages all the time in meetings, in church services, multiple times a week maybe. And there are reproofs going out.
Yes. So therefore.
There are sometimes rebukes going out.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord is telling us the truth.
Yes.
He's revealing our hearts to us. He's examining us and He's showing us where we need to grow and mature. And what are we going to do with that? Proverbs 10 and 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. If we're unwilling to allow the Word of God to reprove us, we're in error.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it won't be long before we find ourselves in a condition like Sardis and we're dead.
Yes.
If we resist the Lord, or we resist His Word, or we resist His dealings, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we're dead. Proverbs 1, 23 and 25. It says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." That's the truth. Many people today refuse the reproof that God has for them. And they continue along their own way, and they continue along in their own path, and they live their lives based on their own understanding and their own ideas about how things are to be, or what's right and what's wrong. And you'll hear them say often, "I think," and I believe, or it's really not about what we think or what we believe. It's about what God's Word says, because His Word is true. If we're living by our own understanding and our own ideas of things, we're in error. It's about God's Word. Because His Word never changes. His Word is solid. It's firm. It's where we find our salvation. This is Proverbs 15. 31 to 32. "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." A wise man hears reproof.
Yes.
And gains life because of it. But a fool refuses instruction and doesn't find understanding. You know, I think about the truth of God and really wanting the truth of the Lord and wanting the Lord to speak to my heart. And I don't know how to really relate it other than we have to have a heart that's prepared to receive.
Yes.
A heart that's open to God and being wide open to God and saying, "Look, Lord, examine me. Show me what's wrong with me. Teach me how I can grow. Teach me how I can mature. Reveal to me where I'm coming short, that I might be more like you." That is the heart of a believer. That is the heart of a child of God that loves the Lord and wants to be pleasing unto the Lord and sees the Word of God and the way God says that we should live as being the right way. Plain and simple, it's the right way. If you study it out long enough, you'll find out why it's the right way.
Yes.
But it's enough to know that God has said it's the right way.
Yes.
You can stand on that alone and know that you're on solid ground. But I believe he'll show you why it's right too. If you want to know bad enough and you want to seek him out and search those things out, and he'll show you and he'll prove it to you that it is right. It is the best way. I mean, I'm so thankful that the Lord saved my soul. It is the best way to live. And I've lived other ways. And I know what I'm talking about. I thank God that he saved me, and delivered me from the pit that I was in, and cleansed me and washed me and made me white as snow, purified me. I thank God for that. What he'll do for one, he'll do for another. A wise man receives reproof. Proverbs 17:10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You know, there's multiple verses that speak about reproof and speak about correction and instruction, and it's all in the Word. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't like the way they talk, you know, or I don't like that preacher, you know. He always speaks against me, you know.
Yeah.
He's guilty.
Right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And thank the Lord for that. Tell me I'm guilty. Tell me I'm wrong. I was telling Brother Philip the other night, you know, if I'm in error, please don't be afraid to tell me, you know. I want to hear that because I don't want to be in error.
Sure.
I don't want to walk in error. I don't want to walk uncircumspectly, you know. I want to be open for the Lord to deal with me if I need it, you know. He says that he corrects his sons, his children, you know, and so thank God for that. I think about that, church in Sardis. They needed it.
Yes.
They needed reproof. And I thank God that he's faithful to give it. Because they could have went into eternity unprepared. You know, he offers those who are even on their deathbed and have come to realize that, you know, their time is short, shorter than they ever imagined. And yet God is still there. And he's ready to hear them. He's ready to receive them even in that moment. Where many of us would have said, you know what, you've lived your life. You've done your stuff. You know, like we were talking about earlier in Jonah. He's like, why? Why should I preach to them? I know you're going to show them mercy. Sometimes we can be that way. I think they don't deserve it. But the reality is not one of us deserves the mercy of God. Not one of us deserves the sacrifice that he made in dying on a cross to pay for our sins. Something that he never committed, something that he never did. And he died so that we could be free. Psalms 141:5. I really like this. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be and their calamities. You know, this psalm is attributed to David. And, you know, I think about David, and, you know, it says that he was a man after God's own heart. And I guess there's a couple different ways you can look at that, and maybe and say that, you know, he's a chip off the old block kind of thing. You know, some you've heard some people say that. I kind of think that he was a man that was after God's heart. If it was pleasing unto the Lord, if it was right unto the Lord, then that's what David wanted. David wanted his life to line up with the heart of God. And so whatever God's heart was, I mean, you saw it in his life, every opportunity he could find, he was asking the Lord, should I go? Should I stay? Where should I go? Where should I stay? You know, what would you have me do in this particular situation? Or, what about this situation? And he was always after the heart of God and always after the direction of the Lord. And I think about David and I think about those things, and you know, David was a man who could receive reproof.
Yes, he was.
Yes, that's right.
I remember an instance where David was, he had just committed an atrocious sin, you know, adultery, murder, deception, you know, you can put a whole bunch of things in there. And the prophet Nathan comes to him and tells him a little story and says, you know, there was a man that had multiple cattle or multiple sheep, and he went and he spared the best of his flock and of his herd, and went and stole the one ewe lamb that was like a baby or like a child to this other man. The only one that he had, he went and stole it and he cooked it for his friend. And David was furious to hear that. But you know what Nathan told him? You are the man. That was an open rebuke. An open reproof. You are the man.
Yes.
You are guilty.
Yes.
And what was David? David's king. He's an ultimate authority, really, by all rights. He could have this prophet killed.
Yes.
What was David's response to that? He immediately falls down before the Lord and seeks forgiveness. That's a wise man.
Yes.
Who's willing and able to receive reproof and allow it to produce salvation in his heart and in his life. There's another instance about David that I've always enjoyed reading, and it's kind of a small instance, but there was a time before he was king that he had helped a man out and kept him from losing any of his sheep or his flock in the wilderness, and protected him and was a shield around his herds. And so they got hungry and they went to this guy's house because he was getting ready to throw a big feast. And they thought, well, you know, maybe he'll share a little. And so he went over there hoping to get a little food from him. He sent somebody and said, hey, how about sending us a little food? You know, we protected you guys out there in the wilderness. And the man rebuked him and said, nope. Who are you? You know, why would you come to me? And why should I feed you? And it angered David. It angered David.
Yes.
And he said, well, you know what? Strap on your swords. We're going to go pay this man a visit. You know, obviously in vain, I went and helped him out in the wilderness. And so just as he's about to get there, I'm not sure. I think it was Nabal.
His wife.
Yeah, but Nabal was the man, right?
Mm-hmm.
His wife comes out, Abigail, and essentially reproves David and says, don't do this. Don't take matters into your own hands. Let vengeance be for the Lord. And let him inflict vengeance. And David received that reproof. Now, who is this lady? Right? She's no one of significance. You can say, well, you know, the prophet, he's a pretty significant individual. He's, you know, known and well-versed, and, you know, everybody recognizes him as the man of God. But here's Abigail. Just another lady, you know? David didn't even know her. But what made him receive it? What was it about what she said that made David willing and able to receive it? It was the truth.
Yes.
She spoke the truth. What will we do in the face of truth? It doesn't matter who's telling us. It doesn't matter where it's coming from, really. If it's the truth, then we should be willing to receive it and allow it to produce something in our hearts, in our lives. Allow us to change our direction. And I thank the Lord that David didn't. He didn't do what he had intended to do. And the Lord saw fit to bring retribution in that situation. I thank the Lord for that. You know, I think of some other people. We can, how about Herod? It says that John the Baptist reproved Herod because of the relationship that he had.
Yes.
And told him, you know what? That's not right. The relationship that you have isn't right. It's not of the Lord. What did Herod do in the face of that reproof? He imprisoned John the Baptist.
Yes.
Put him in jail. And eventually cut his head off at the whim of some young girl. Acts chapter 7. Verses, I think it's the start of maybe verse 50. Just to give a little prelude to this chapter, this is when the seven deacons were appointed, and Stephen was one of them, and he was having some trouble, and so they were addressing him, and this was his reply to some of the things that they were addressing him about. It says, "Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth." The word of God pierces.
Yes, it does.
He spoke the truth. He told them exactly what they had done. And this was their response. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." You know, sometimes I believe that people react to the truth like that. We may not be out gathering stones and getting ready to throw them at the messenger, but I really believe that sometimes the truth penetrates the hearts, and the response is this: defense.
Yes.
The response is attack. The response is stop the ears. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to receive this. And why is that? Because they don't want to change?
Yes.
Because they don't want to have to adhere to the truth. They don't want their lives to be affected by the truth. You know that not one of us can get saved without receiving the proof.
That's true.
Or a rebuke. We have to be able to confess that we're wrong.
Yes. Yes.
And if you stand here and say that you've never done anything that needed a confession, the Word of God says you're a liar.
Yes.
That's true.
Every one of us has needed to, at one point in our life, confess and adhere to a wrong that we've committed that's been against the Lord and has caused us to be separated from Him and not have a relationship with Him. And because of that separation, we need to be restored. The blood of Jesus provided for that restoration, for that that relationship to be restored. But it comes out of confession. If you confess your faults, He's faithful and just to forgive. I thank God for the reproof.
Yes.
Because it was the ability or the avenue for me to find salvation. How many kings in the Old Testament do you think killed the prophets because they told the truth? I'm not certain, but I would say that all of the prophets were killed at one point or another because they spoke the truth. Do we love the truth? You know, 2 Timothy 4 and 2. This is a command that Paul gives Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul gives him the instruction to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. That's what we're here to receive. I pray that the Lord will help us to have a heart to receive it and to allow it to enter into our hearts and do what it is that God's word is sent out to do. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, all the scripture, all the word of God, when you read the word of God, there's reproof after reproof in there that teaches us how to grow. Teaches us how to mature. Teaches us where we're lacking and how we can improve in our attitudes and in our faith and to strengthen us as children of God. It's all in there. There's a verse that I often think about. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 12. It often comes to mind when I think about truth in this particular scripture. It says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, why do they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I pray that the Lord would help us to have a heart to love God's word.
Yes.
To love the truth that is spoken to us. To evaluate it, to appreciate it, to allow it to minister to us. I thank the Lord that I'm able to sit under truth. You know, I spent a lot of my years sitting under falsehood. Sitting under lies, deception, doctrines that appeased the flesh. Doctrines that said, you know what, you're okay. Everybody's fine. You know, everybody's a sinner. Everybody's guilty. But you know that God's salvation came to do much more than that?
Yes.
You know that He came to do much more than just hide your sin, to hide your guilt. He came to purify us. Not a purification that's just by word, not just a purification that is a semblance or, but true purification.
Yes.
True righteousness. True holiness. Yeah, we didn't have it. We didn't have any means to come about it. But by the grace of God, we can be holy.
Amen.
We can be sanctified. We can be purified. And we can be righteous. And it comes by the washing of God's word. That when He speaks it, we immediately, like David, just, well, okay, yeah, I'm guilty. I'm sorry, Lord, help me. I didn't realize that I'd done that. Help me to be better. It's by the grace of God that we're going to live the life that the Lord has called us to live.
Yes.
But it can be done.
Yes.
It can be done by the Spirit of God living and dwelling within us. I thank God for His mercy to me. I pray that He would give us the heart to receive reproof, to receive correction and instruction, that we might hear His word and be willing immediately to turn from our way and to kneel down before Him and allow Him to purify us,
yes,
to make us whole. I appreciate your time and attention today.